The dawn didn't really come creeping in on little cat feet. One minute, the Berkeley boy's in a deep slumber. The next minute, he's fully awake in a room that has been sunlit for quite some time. He's not really all that happy about it either. Truth be told, the room's a mess. In fact, you could say the house is sort of a mess. The rural property, like so many rural properties, is a sort of a mess. Not a neat, tidy place like in a suburb where there's neighborhood pressure to keep things well tended, to keep everyone's resale values on a constant increase. After all, for most people, their home is their biggest or maybe even only investment. Rising home prices are an essential component of retirement planning. If something goes wrong with this part of the plan, one might never be able to retire. One might have to just keep doing something that will earn a paycheck or generate a fee forever. But this is not a suburb. And this is certainly not Berkeley. This is a small, unattractive, stucco farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere on a parcel of 40 acres of farmland. Enough land to make you think you could live off the land, but not really enough to allow you to quit your regular job in the city, which ends up being the cash flow to support the agricultural activities and not the intended other way around, where the economic bounty of the land would allow you to phase out and eventually quit your regular job. The farm is still making the job an economic necessity. The covers for the bed are on the floor. He had mostly slept on top of the sheets at a sort of oblique angle from one corner of the bed to the other. And being a few miles out in the country, the windows were opened at night to let the breeze flow through the house. Window screens kept out insects and other potential small intruders, but did nothing to keep some of the unpleasant smells at bay. Even if you didn't have farm animals, someone upwind of you invariably did. And even though this was a smell that eventually saturated your olfactory senses to the point that it could no longer be detected, some part of the brain still knew that the air stank, even if the nose was claiming otherwise. At some point, he'd have to put on something over his boxer shorts, which currently was the only thing between him and nakedness. But then, in this rather remote location, it was unlikely that anyone would come knocking at the door to beg a cup of sugar or return a borrowed lawnmower. Small farmers borrowed and loaned farm implements, but he hadn't really been friendly enough with his neighbors to engage with this sort of activity. But he would have to put on some pants if he were going to take the walk out to the road and retrieve the contents of the mailbox. Even if there were likely to be few cars driving past at any one time, the prospect of being spotted retrieving mail dressed only in a pair of boxer shorts was not the sort of incident for which he wished to gain notoriety. Much of his life was spent these days in minimal contact with others. He had a nodding acquaintance with several of the clerks at the grocery store where he shopped, and he was on a first-name basis with the mechanic who repaired his car with some regularity. Well, despite this low level of social interaction, he still had a desire to remain fit and somewhat physically attractive. And though it frustrated him just the same, he had a minimal amount of excess bulge around the middle. Occasionally, he would inspect himself after his morning shower and be a little disappointed with the slightly sagging skin under his arms and his ever-enlarging forehead. His current plan was to do a 45-minute run several times a week. He'd have done more, but his feet were starting to get sore any time he ran for more than a mile. There didn't seem to be any aggressive program he could undertake that would make his feet feel better. The harder he exercised, the more they hurt. Well, he still had most of his hair. Hair loss wasn't a condition that could be confronted and treated with an aggressive exercise program either. His hair was losing more color every day. When he was younger, it was dark brown and curly. It was still curly, But in another few years, it might be difficult for anyone who didn't know him when he was younger to guess what color it had originally been. When he was younger, when he was in college, he had let his hair grow long, down to his shoulders. Most everyone he knew had done the same. The long hair carried with it the recognition that the wearer was a dyed-in-the-wool leftist radical. Only many years later did he discover that some of the radicals wearing long hair, beard, and mustache similar to his had turned out to be staunch conservatives in their later years. This was a surprising revelation, which he was still struggling to accept. But the Vietnam-era GIs had it figured out. Put a GI with a crew cut out on a road in civvies trying to hitchhike home when the only vehicles passing by are VW buses totally inhabited by long hairs, and the GI would flash the peace sign, and the hippie bus would pull over and give the poor guy a ride. The only difference between the driver and the guy in the crew cut, as proven by the two-finger salute, was the proper maintenance of a student deferment. Since he was mostly off the grid and largely anonymous these days, he didn't usually get a lot of mail. Sometimes nothing at all came for 2 or 3 days at a time. So he wasn't likely to miss it today when the envelope arrived in the return address, High School Class of 1967 Reunion Committee.
Well, I'm surprised they were able to find me. I really haven't kept in touch with anyone from high school. I realize I ended up residing within 100 miles of where I grew up, but that doesn't mean anyone from high school would know my current address. Maybe it shows up somewhere on Google, though I certainly don't know why it would. I haven't been involved in any lawsuits or other court filings recently. I guess I'll have to go to the library sometime and Google myself and see what comes up. 50th reunion. Why go to a 50th reunion? I guess to see what happened to your cohorts from high school. How did their lives turn out? Did they have really great lives? Mediocre lives? Truly awful lives? I guess the really awful ones won't show up. Only mediocre or better. I only had one really good friend that I would show up to reconnect with. I wonder if she'll be there. Whatever happened to the Mills girl? We were never a couple, just really close friends. We could have been more than friends, I suppose. I wonder why that never happened. Both of us ended up married to other people. My marriage ended in divorce. I guess I'm glad we didn't ever get together because you could be intentionally or inadvertently cruel to a spouse while always being kind and considerate to someone who's merely a good friend. So I guess you could say that I showed my greatest regard for her by not getting closer to her than friend. This is how you show someone that you care for them, by not falling in love with them or making them fall in love with you.
How long has it been since we were closest friends, the kind you knew who'd always be there for you? Quite long enough, it seems. Feels like all those vivid dreams, the kind you keep coming back to. Still, I'm sure, I guess I'll bet that if by chance tomorrow we met, it would be like we'd never been parted. For though we each took a different path, I think in fact she'd welcome me back. At least that's what my heart is telling me. At least that's what my heart is telling me.